When you say get out of the banking system, do you mean just here in North America, or would you move money offshore? And if so, where? Or would you just keep it onshore and just stay with the metals?
Each person has to actually decide this. I don't see the problem is this: all the banks, the central banks around the world, are built on the U.S. dollar, basically. Okay, so when the U.S. dollar cracks, all of these banks are going to crack, right? They have so that's how, for example, in Turkey, their currency over the past few years has gone into hyperinflation and devaluated. Because if they don't like somebody, it's very easy for them to do that, just to through the US dollar. So you put your money in another bank somewhere else, it's just basically the same thing, in my opinion. That's I wouldn't do that.
Bilal Armani, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. Nice to meet you. Nice to see you. Greetings from Toronto, man.
Yeah, no, really good to see you. Looking forward to this conversation. You wrote a book recently, and we'll get to that in a minute. And the book just dropped, but I want to talk to you about what inspired the book, and give me a 30,000-foot view, really, where we are currently at.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in business for a long time, about 27 years, and I run different type of businesses all over the world, basically. I was born in Argentina, and when we were kids, we had hyperinflation, basically. There was a big problem continuously. Actually, I don't remember a time in Argentina when we didn't have some sort of economic problem. Now, fast forward to 2025 and the past, let's say, 10 years, I was starting to see the same sort of conditions developing, basically. Inflation and sort of mismanagement in government, political chaos. There's so innumerable amount of things that are happening, basically. So what I decided to do is, let me write a book to help people understand. Because see, most people in the West, in North America and Canada, they never experienced this. I'll just give you one example. When we were kids, we used to get in the bus to go to the school, and let's say we drop in like 5 pesos into the bus just to get to school. Next week, you had to drop 7 pesos, and the week after, we had to drop 10 pesos. So in a matter of just 3 weeks, the inflation was just consuming people's money. And there was many cases in Argentina in particular that the banks, for example, shut down. They tell you can only take, say, $100 a week for your food. And people's currency changes. They give you a new name. They take out all the zeros from the currency. But in this process, people lose 30, 40, 50% of the assets that they have in the bank deposited. Like my own father, he has sold a house, and he had a deposit to buy a new house. He went on a business trip to Brazil, and then when he came back, he couldn't even put a deposit on a new house with what he had received from the sale of his current house. So, and it's happened many times. And now what eventually happens to people is they distrust the system, basically. They want to get out of the system. Now, in North America, currently, we are not at that stage yet. A lot of people are still trusting the system. But this is sort of like a self-defeating condition, basically. And what I'm just basically trying to advise people is that to take precautionary measures, understand how the system works, and why is it gonna crash, basically? And of course, there's another aspect to the crash, which is there's a degree of the crash is caused by recklessness, but there's also a degree of planning to it. But we can get into that discussion later.
Yeah, well, let's work it out now. Tell me about that. I mean, I guess, well, my first question is when do you expect this to happen? Was we're not there yet, and I don't speak for my friends in Canada, But I will speak for myself and the people here in the US. We are seeing already a significant rise in prices, just anecdotally, just from the grocery store, going to the grocery store, to, I don't know, just buying just raw materials or filling up my car with gas. That being said, what is your expectation? And then let's talk about the why.
I think timing is a bit hard to determine basically when things are gonna happen. So like they say, you can be early, which is okay, but you cannot be late. So that's the key. So there's too many factors currently compared to what used to happen in the past. So let's just list a few of them. So we have the war with Russia, the detachment from the US dollar by Russia, China, India, the BRICS countries. Many people who are not in that group are detaching from the US dollar based on what they see happen to Russia and their deposits in the US and in Europe, the $300 billion that's been confiscated. So there's a lot of wariness from business people around the world, and they understand that this could happen, and countries also could happen to them. There's the situation with Iran, which is a big producer of oil. So any issue with this Strait of Hormuz is going to be a massive crash. You have the detachment of the African countries from the yoke of the Europeans, basically, mainly France and the UK. So they had hundreds of years of exploitation. You're seeing a detachment there from Burkina Faso and other countries. You have now this aggressive posture by the Trump government with tariffs on China. Now, I think most people don't understand that tariffs are actually paid by the country that imposes the tariffs. So these prices that you're seeing rising in the US and in Canada is just basically the cost of its own government, the American government, basically. Now, what I see also is a rise in prices that is unreasonable, that has no basis for it. For example, I was just watching a video yesterday. Michael is the YouTuber. He mentioned that there's people in the US who are getting these water bills for $700 a month, basically. Like, where is this coming from? Nothing has changed that can justify that a water bill now all of a sudden is jumping from, $150 to $700. So there has to be someone or a group of people who are just doing this to trigger inflation in the system. Like, I don't have the proof, but it looks that from outside, basically, Here in Canada, we have the big corporations who run the supermarkets. Here in Canada, maybe you don't know, but there's a lot of like banking system is only five banks, retailing. There's very few companies who are retailing. So everything is sort of conglomerating into a few hands. So, in 1982, I remember we used to pay 50 cents for a loaf of bread, okay, here in Toronto. We're paying like $7, $8 for a loaf of bread here now. So, and there's no lack of food. Canada produces a lot of grain. So what are the real reasons for this? I think there's a combination of negligence in, printing money unlimitedly, and also there's a program to create a sort of economic and financial conditions that will lead up to basically a change in the currency. And the practice grounds for this currency sort of swap, if you want to call it, is it has been Argentina, basically, many, many times. I list them in my book there. And the people who are running these currency swaps are economists, all who are currently working in Harvard, for example.
Right.
So it's all there's a sort of a program to do this, basically. And unfortunately, it's gonna caught a lot of people off guard. And this is what I'm trying to, do for people. Try to get them to understand that this is coming and protect yourself. I was just talking to some relatives from the UK. They came for a week last week, and they had no clue what's going on. You know, it's amazing. They have no idea. So it's important to put this out there and help people, you know, protect their money, man, because otherwise it's going to be very bad. The cryptocurrencies are the same. This the new law that Trump put out, I think they call it the Big Beautiful Bill. Is that the name, I think? It's just the transition into the digital currency, cryptocurrency. Digital currency already happens, basically. So yeah, there's a combination of factors, and the big one is the US dollar losing its grip on the US dollar, and therefore they're taking measures, extreme measures basically. You know, when I used to be a lifeguard when I was a teenager, and they used to teach us that when there's a drowning person, you don't let them approach you basically. Which if you're close to them and they're trying to grab you, you just kick them, basically. You have to kick them as much as you can. So what I'm trying to tell you is that a drowning man is very dangerous.
Right. Yeah. Who would you say, it sounds like you think this is orchestrated. Who is they and that's doing the orchestration?
Well, they tell you themselves who they are. They call the World Economic Forum and all of these guys, basically a group of bankers, you know, the same people who run the Federal Reserve. They're all the same people. And then their associates who run all the big corporations, right? So when you can print money, like you and I, we cannot print money, but they can print money so they can access whatever they want, right? They can buy any company they want. They can control the gold markets as they want, right? All you have to do is just short the gold, basically, if you want to keep the prices down. So it's very simple. Yeah. It's not like a rocket science formula.
Yeah.
So these guys, you know, they think they own everybody, so they can do whatever they want. But unfortunately, people are letting them do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you get into it in with your book, just really, and the book is, and I'll put all of the links in the show notes below, but it's After the Fall, Worldwide Financial and Economic Collapse, a Real World Survival Guide. What should, I think would be most helpful to our listeners, what, not to give away the book, but what do you recommend people start doing?
Yeah, the main thing is that stay as much as you can out of the banking system, basically, because that's where they're going to get you. That's why they're moving into the cryptocurrencies and so on. So as much as you can operate on a monthly basis outside of the banking system, just keep in the bank what you need. If you're running a business, just, you know, keep the money you need to pay your employees, your marketing, your expenses, and the rest. You know, invested in something that does not lose value. So in Argentina, we used to keep all our money in US dollars, basically. That's what we used to do. In fact, I was the one who used to go to the so-called black market, which is an open market where everybody's trading money there. And every week we used to just change the money we needed to change and then pay the bills. The rest was in US dollars. But now the US dollar is not the same as, you know, 30 years ago. So you have to go into metals, either silver or gold, whatever you can afford. Silver is really cheap now. It's just more bulky. If you know somebody has a larger amount of money to invest, it's bulky to move around. But silver, gold is the best option. If not, silver. Traditionally, silver used to be the currency that was used in the markets, basically, just for daily transactions, right? So, but gold was for large transactions or for government and so on, or paying the army, but silver is more abundant. And when the currencies are worth nothing, I bet you anything any farmer will take a silver coin from you for you to buy a sheep or a bag of grain or whatever. Everybody will accept this.
When you say get out of the banking system, do you mean just here in North America, or would you move money offshore? And if so, where? Or would you just keep it onshore and just stay with the metals?
Each person has to actually decide this. You know, the problem is this. All the banks, the central banks around the world are built on the US dollar, basically. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when the US dollar cracks, all of these banks are going to crack, right? They have, so that's how, for example, in Turkey, their currency over the past few years has gone into hyperinflation and devaluated, because if they don't like somebody, it's very easy for them to do that, just to through the US dollar. So you put your money in another bank somewhere else, it's just basically the same thing, in my opinion. You know, that's, I wouldn't do that. I would go into metals and be with the metals if you can. If you have the resources, you know, stash it in different locations if you can. If you have land in South America, for example, you have a house there, go ahead, you know, back yourself up, you know, reduce the risk. You don't know, because I think eventually they're going to do the same thing they did in 1933, they're going to start confiscating gold again. So you're going to have a nice excuse as to why you don't have the gold anymore. So, because they want to do that, right? They need to do that in order to make sure that this new cryptocurrency is accepted worldwide. Most likely what they'll do is they'll consolidate Canada and the US and even Europe into one currency. That's why Trump is talking about Canada joining the U.S. He's just throwing it out there for people to start munching on it, that this is something that's already cooked up. It's already agreed upon.
Yeah. So you talk about currency. You talked about cryptocurrency. Would you have no cryptocurrency, Bitcoin or whatever have you? Or you think that's just a Trojan horse?
I think it has no worth anywhere. I mean, it's just for speculation, right? Like, mm-hmm. There's something called an electrical plug. All you have to do is pull it out and there's no crypto anymore. It disappears. So it's just like going into a rat hole, basically, yeah, and getting yourself into that. I wouldn't do it. Some people do it. It's okay, but it has no intrinsic value. So what has been money in the history of the world is anything that has intrinsic value. You can measure the value of things for, and you can use it as exchange. So, I like your hat. So here's a gold coin. You give me the hat. How much is it? Well, it's, 1 gram. Okay, it's 1 gram is good. Traditionally, actually, the exchange from silver to gold used to be 10 to 1 for most of history. Sometimes they used to dilute it a little bit up to 15, 17 to 1. Currently, silver is almost, 100 to 1, basically. So it's a good deal right now. But of course, you need money, cash to operate. You need the banks to operate. You cannot book a hotel without a credit card. So you have to use the system as much as you can in the least amount of possible. That's what I'm suggesting.
Got it. So you're originally from Argentina. I remember watching, I think it was Argentina. I remember this was years ago, videos about an economic collapse, and it was horrifying. And you basically had people literally running into the store and just taking goods off of shelves. Is that something, do you see that as a likelihood in the future in both Canada and the U.S.?
It's already happening. You know that, I was just looking right now in Telegram in the U.K. There's a video in one of the drugstores there. There was like 3-4 guys just ransacking the whole drugstore in daylight. Mm-hmm. So, there's two types of criminals, right? There's people who just simply steal because they don't want to work and they're just simply criminal. But there's people who are just simply stuck. They don't have any other option but to steal, So, and it's already happening in the U.S. It's all over the U.S. Even here in Toronto, they're going groups of 5-6 guys and they're ransacking jewelry stores. Mm-hmm. So this is just the tip of the iceberg, basically. the numbers in unemployment and so on they give the government, they're not real,
basically.
I was in the renovation construction business until last year, and then the whole business is finished here in Ontario, in Canada, because of the real estate. So real estate is another subject we didn't discuss. How they, basically, they, first they bring the interest rate down. This is where it leads me to think they are doing this on purpose. You know, you bring the interest rates down to zero, then you jack them up, basically. And then you're just catching people off guard that, okay, what's happening here? All this money invested into real estate and renovations and so on. And then all of a sudden, the investors, they cannot recoup the money, or they're losing money, especially in the residential real estate. I'm talking here about Canada. I'm hearing mm-hmm. that in the US is happening too. Here, the condominium market is crashing, basically. It's a disaster. The office buildings are half empty, right? Mm-hmm. So all of this is not being discussed in the public media, you know, because they want to hold that panic effect, basically.
Yeah. So for the viewers and listeners that can, and this goes out over all the world, what would you recommend doing if you're a resident, or you have residency here in the U.S., or I should say in North America? Would you just go to a rural that you can relocate to a rural community, or would you go to a different country or jurisdiction outside of the U.S.?
You know, I think every person has to decide that. I think the economies in North America are going to undergo a severe downturn, and actually worldwide. So I think the best strategy, besides, you know, backing up whatever money you have into metal, is to try to have access to food, or the ability to produce food if things go really bad, basically. Mm-hmm. And the world is huge, right? There's many countries. There's you can go to Africa, you can go to South America. In the U.S. is huge too. So there's a lot of options, basically. So everybody has to decide what's best for them, for the family, basically. I think things are going to get more complicated with the war with Russia. They might even start conscripting people to go fight there. Canada just put out $3 billion, which we don't have, to give to Ukraine. And all of this is going to complicate everything, basically. Even leaving the country could be complicated, you know, especially for the young guys. You know, if you're between like 18 to 30 or 35, they might start conscripting, like in the times of Vietnam, right? Now, you look at Ukraine, they just grab guys on the streets, right?
What is it?
And send them to the front. So if this war gets off hand, then it's going to happen. So then relocating or moving out of the cities maybe get complicated. So the, you know, the sooner you can get ahead of the game, the better for you. That's all I can tell you, basically. Yeah.
Got it. What actionable steps did you go over in your book about, let's say, again, I'm living in Atlanta, I'm in the suburbs of Atlanta. What actionable steps should somebody that's like me, what can we do? How to prepare? Or is it too late for us?
So my focus is, there's many guys out there who do prepping, basically. So they discuss, you know, homesteading and equipment and this type of things, physical prepping. My focus was to give an idea of, first of all, how the people understand what happens when there's an economic depression or a crash or hyperinflation. So most people don't know what happens. So if you don't know what happens, you can't understand what to do, basically. So I divided the book into two sections. One is for individuals and one is for businesses. So there's a different approach all together, basically. Well, not different, but a different approach. You have to look at different things, basically. So the first thing is, like, try to cut down your expenses. That's the first step that you need to do, and save as much as you can. restructure debt. Debt is one of the biggest problems we're having, basically. Not only government debt, but individual debt. People are living beyond their means, basically. They don't have the income, but they're just like, you know, racking up the credit card at 20% interest rate per month, per year. This is like crazy. Yeah, people have to cut down their costs and live within their means and try to save money ASAP. Because when the jobs are gone, then you're going to have to rely on the savings. You're going to have to use those savings to purchase, let's say, a bit of land where you can, you know, grow some food or have some animals and so on. So we're talking about different degrees of cases, right? There's like, you know, a recession, there's a depression, and it's a complete wipeout, basically. So each case, you had to adapt to it. And that's one of the things I discuss in the book, is the mental condition that you had to adapt in these conditions. It's not the old same old times, basically. You know, I read a few years back a book by the Vietnam general who used to run the war in Vietnam against the Americans. This general, what he discussed is they won the war, the Vietnamese. So you had to learn something from them. Why? What did they do? So what they used to do is they used to operate in a very dynamic manner, basically. They used to continuously assess the situation, come up to a conclusion of an immediate action plan, a medium-term action plan, and a long-term action plan, and then execute it. They used to get everybody involved in this, and have a community approach to this, and mm-hmm. a sacrifice approach to this, basically. We know this opponent is stronger than us, so what are we going to do? How are we going to get him out of here, basically? And they won, basically. So it's important to understand how you're going to be thinking, which is different from what you've been thinking for the past, say, 50 years, basically. So that's the first step. And then second step is understand the problem, basically. And this is where I use this thing called a mind map. I haven't created it. Many people use it, where you take a problem and you try to segment out what are its components, and then try to tackle each of these components separately in a sequential basis. Right? So individuals, for example, saving is important. Cutting down the debt is important. Understanding that interest is just like a poison for your finances and your whole life is very important. So for businesses, as soon as the recession starts, basically, what are you going to do with your employees? One of the biggest problems is which employees you let go, basically. Or some business people, they don't care. They just get them out. But some business people are responsible, and they try to hold on to these people. So I'll give you my own personal example. In 2008, I was managing a company, and we were doing good. I mean, we were expanding internationally. We were opening branches in Dubai, and we had our office in Beverly Hills, one in Toronto, one franchise in Buenos Aires, one in Mumbai, one in Johannesburg in South Africa. And we were hiring people, we were spending money in marketing and so on. And then all of a sudden, 2008 hit. And like this, boom, you just got hit from the side. We started losing almost $100,000 a month, basically. So you're expanding your expenses, and then your revenue shrinks, boom. So what do you do in these conditions, right? So for a business, the most important thing is to realize that these conditions will take time to change. So denying what's happening is actually counterproductive. You have to realize, okay, for example, the first reaction a business does is when the business goes down, they start spending money in marketing. But marketing, one of the indicators that the economy is not doing well is that when you're spending money in marketing and there's no return on the marketing, basically. As you keep on pumping money out, you will see that your sales are frozen or are decreasing. The leads don't come in, the sales don't come in, basically. So this is counterproductive to your business. You're just simply dumping money into the garbage. So this is, for example, one of the mindsets I explain basically in the book, how a business person can react to this condition, how to shrink down the business so it's viable, basically. And even sometimes relocate the business. Like people think, well, you have to stay in North America all your life. You don't. I was born in Argentina. I came here in Canada, and I'm willing to move anytime. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't like Canada or the U.S. or whatever. People live where there's money, basically. So if there's no money, you don't live there. It's just not possible. So, yeah. So these are two different approaches. So the mental aspect of it is important. And then the practical aspect, I focus on the financial monetary aspect. Companies have to invest in gold and silver, just like individuals. You know, it's the only thing that's going to back you up, basically.
Got it. Well, Bilal, how do people find your book? And I want you to give us the name of your book. And I just saw it on Amazon. So, give us the name and where can they find it?
Yeah, the book is called After the Fall, Worldwide Financial and Economic Collapse, A Real World, Survival Guide, basically. Mm-hmm. So this is a book available on Amazon.com or UK or CA in Australia also. It's a print-on-demand book, so you can just get it. You can also get it in your Kindle, basically. And yeah, I mean, give me a good review. I appreciate that. And if somebody out there cannot afford it, for example, they can get in touch with me. I'll send them a book for free. How's that?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, I will link to this in the show notes, both on YouTube as well as the Apple Podcast and Spotify. I want to thank you so much for your time, Bilal.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate it. And God keep you well, and best wishes.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Take care.